Today on Wings, The Road or Railroad to the Green New Deal, featuring Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Robin Morgan, Jane Fonda, and Naomi Klein.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
On September 24, 2019, a town hall in Seattle was streamed live. The keynote speaker was Naomi Klein, but the first thing Naomi Klein presented before she said a word was a short film she had developed, titled A Message from the Future, narrated by member of the U.S. Congress Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The images, all rapid drawings by Molly Crabapple, began with Ocasio-Cortez seated in a sleek, futuristic bullet train headed for Washington, D.C.
Ah, the bullet train from New York to D.C. It always brings me back to when I first started making this commute. In 2019, I was a freshman in the most diverse Congress in history. Up to that point, it was a critical time. I'll never forget the children in our community. They were so inspired to see this new class of politicians who reflected them navigating the halls of power. It's often said, you can't be what you can't see. And for the first time, they saw themselves. I think there was something similar with the Green New Deal. We knew that we needed to save the planet and that we had all the technology to do it, but people were scared. They said it was too big, too fast, not practical. I think that's because they just couldn't picture it yet. Anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's start with how we got here. 1977, New York. A senior scientist named James Black made a presentation about how burning fossil fuels could eventually lead to global temperatures rising 4 or 5 degrees Fahrenheit. Within 2 years, one of the world's biggest supertankers was outfitted with a state-of-the-art lab to measure CO2 in the ocean, gathering more data about global warming. Guess who was doing all of this research? Exxon Mobil, the oil and gas company. Oh yeah, Exxon knew this whole time, as did our politicians. 10 years later, James Hansen, NASA's top climate scientist, told Congress he was 99% certain that global warming was happening and caused by humans. That was 1988, the year before I was even born. So did Exxon listen to the science, including their own? Did they change business models, invest in renewables? No, the opposite. They knew and they doubled down. They and others spent millions setting up a network of lobby groups and think tanks to create doubt and denial about climate change. It was an effort designed to attack and dispute the very kind of science they themselves had been doing. And it worked. Politicians went to bat for fossil fuels, and these massive corporations kept digging and mining, drilling and fracking like there was no tomorrow. America became the biggest producer and consumer of oil in the world. Fossil fuel companies made hundreds of billions, while the public paid the lion's share to clean up their disasters. We lost a generation of time we'll never get back. Entire species will never get back. Natural wonders gone forever. And in 2017, Hurricane Maria destroyed the place where my family was from, Puerto Rico. It was like a climate bomb. It took as many American lives as 9/11. And in the next year, when I was elected to Congress, the world's leading climate scientists declared another emergency. They told us that we had 12 years left to cut our emissions in half, or hundreds of millions of people would be more likely to face food and water shortages, poverty, and death. 12 years to change everything. How we got around, how we fed ourselves, how we made our stuff, how we lived and worked, everything. The only way to do it was to transform our economy, which we already knew was broken since the vast majority of wealth was going to just a small handful of people, and most folks were falling further and further behind. It was a true turning point. Lots of people gave up. They said we were doomed. But some of us remembered that as a nation, we'd been in peril before. The Great Depression, World War II. We knew from our history how to pull together to overcome impossible odds. And at the very least, we owed it to our children to try. The wave began when Democrats took back the House in 2018, and then the Senate and the White House in 2020, and launched the decade of the Green New Deal, a flurry of legislation that kicked off our social and ecological transformation to save the planet. It was the kind of swing for the fence ambition we needed. Finally, we were entertaining solutions on the scale of the crises we faced without leaving anyone behind. That included Medicare for All, the most popular social program in American history. We also introduced the federal jobs guarantee, a public option including dignified living wages for work. Funnily enough, the biggest problem in those early years was a labor shortage. We were building a national smart grid, retrofitting every building in America, putting trains like this one all across the country. We needed more workers. That group of kids from my neighborhood were right in the middle of it all, especially this one girl, Ileana. Her first job out of college was with AmeriCorps Climate, restoring wetlands and bayous in coastal Louisiana. Most of her friends were in her union, including some oil workers in transition. They took apart old pipelines and got to work planting mangroves with the same salary and benefits. Of course, when it came to healing the land, we had huge gaps in our knowledge. Luckily, indigenous communities offered generational expertise to help guide the way. Ileana got restless, tried her hand as a solar plant engineer for a while, but eventually made her career in raising the next generation as part of the Universal Child Care Initiative. As it turns out, caring for others is valuable, low-carbon work, and we started paying real money to folks like teachers, domestic workers, and home health aides. Those were years of massive change, and not all of it was good. When Hurricane Sheldon hit southern Florida, parts of Miami went underwater for the last time. But as we battled the floods, fires, and droughts, we knew how lucky we were to have started acting when we did. And we didn't just change the infrastructure, we changed how we did things. We became a society that was not only modern and wealthy, but dignified and humane too. By committing to universal rights like healthcare and meaningful work for all, we stopped being so scared of the future. We stopped being scared of each other, and we found our shared purpose. Ileana heard the call too, and in 2028, she ran for office in the first cycle of publicly funded election campaigns. And now she occupies the seat that I once held. I couldn't be more proud of her, a true child of the Green New Deal. When I think back to my first term in Congress, riding that old school Amtrak in 2019, all of this was still ahead of us. And the first big step was just closing our eyes and imagining it. We can be whatever we have the courage to see.
The film, A Message from the Future, was narrated by the Honorable Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, sponsor of the Green New Deal resolution in the U.S. House of Representatives. It was written by her and Avi Lewis. The concepts for a Green New Deal have been explored in the U.S. and Britain since at least 2006, but only since 2018 have many Democrats in Congress championed the issue. They are under tremendous pressure, especially from youth who have been taking to the streets, demanding immediate and drastic and just climate action. One elder with them in the streets is 82-year-old Jane Fonda. The famous actress and activist was arrested at a climate demonstration in October 2019 in Washington, D.C. She described the Washington strategy in a conversation with Robin Morgan, host of the weekly podcast Women's Media Center Live.
I was getting very depressed, understanding that the crisis is here, we're right smack dab in it, and that I wasn't doing enough. And over the Labor Day weekend, I read Naomi Klein's new book, which is called On Fire, The Burning Case for a Green New Deal. And it really rocked me and inspired me. One of the important things that it did was that it explained the Green New Deal to me. in ways that I could really grok. I'm one of those people, when I first heard the press conference, I said, oh God, why are they bringing everything into it? This is about climate. After I finished Naomi's book, I thought, what a schmuck. Because what it is, the Green New Deal is the framework to guide us going forward. It's not a policy, but there are very, very smart people all over the country working away right now, attaching policies to it. Mm-hmm. So by the time we get a new president, she'll be able to have, you know, right out of the gate, she'll be able to know what to do and start right off. The other thing, the reason that it's so inclusive is this, you know, yes, we're in a climate crisis, but we're also in an empathy crisis. The fabric of our society is unraveling.
I'll say.
Number one. Number two, what needs to be done, and I believe it needs to be done within the framework of a Green New Deal, is so profound and structural, systemic changes in our economy and our society. And it can happen within the framework of capitalism with a lot of regulation added to it. But it is so big and so profound that everybody is going to have to work together to push it through. You know, the only reason that Franklin Delano Roosevelt passed the New Deal was because people were in the streets.
That's right.
He had to pass Social Security and everything else that he did because he was staving off an outright revolution.
Right.
That's what we have to do. We have to make it impossible for whoever the new president is to not push forward the Green New Deal. Now, for that to work, it means that everyone has to be behind it. Obviously, the fossil fuel industry and the politicians they bought off are going to fight it tooth and nail. But everybody else has to be behind it, and they're not going to be behind it unless there's something in it for them. So since we have to take so much apart, we're going to put it back together again in a way that is equal, unlike the original deal. Frontline communities and poor people and people of color have to be the very first to receive the investments to lift them up and make them less vulnerable to climate change and less vulnerable to poverty. And they have to also be part of figuring out the solutions. They have to be part of the transition, as do fossil fuel workers and the communities that depend on the fossil fuel industry. They have to have a say-so in what the transition looks like and how it works. And those fossil fuel workers, they're not going to be just trained for new sustainable energy jobs. Those jobs have to be union. They have to pay a living wage that can support a family, buy a house, and send kids to school. So everybody has to know that this is going to, there's something in it for them.
It affects real democracy.
Yeah. Finally, let's have a democracy, a real democracy. When I understood it in Naomi's book, and then, you know, when I started to watch Greta Thunberg, the Swedish student,
yes,
who, because she's on the spectrum, sees things not through any filter of denial or, you know, rationalization. She sees it right, you know, it just pierces her straight on.
For people who don't know, say what you mean by saying on the spectrum.
Well, she has what is, or used to be called Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
She's on the autism spectrum.
Right.
And people on the spectrum of autism, they're not affected by what other people think. They can't look at a starving polar bear and say, oh my God, how awful, and then 10 minutes later tweet about something they just bought.
Right.
And so when she realized what was barreling towards us, it traumatized her so much she stopped eating. And when I read that, I knew she had seen the truth, mm-hmm. and that I had to find a way to put my body on the line the way she was, and all the other students all over the world that have been joining her in these Friday climate strikes. So I decided to move to Washington, D.C., and with the help of a vast array of climate activists, including the kids, the Sunrise Movement, and the Fridays for the Future, and so forth, I'm doing every Friday, we're going to have a rally in front of the Capitol building, and we're going to focus on a different aspect of climate change, and then we're going to get arrested. And I hope to spend my 82nd birthday in jail. but then, because you can't really go deep at a rally. The Thursday before, we're having digital live stream teach-ins where we take questions from audiences across the country or maybe even across the world. And the scientists and the experts and the celebrity activists that will be with me on Friday will be part of that teach-in.
How do people find that teach-in? How do people find it digitally?
Well, our website is going up. Our website, firegrillfridays.com. This Friday was just the launch. We didn't have a teach-in. It was Naomi Klein and Annie Leonard, who is the president of Greenpeace USA, and some indigenous youth, this wonderful African-American boy, Jerome, who's been all by himself in front of the White House every Friday for a long time. He's going to be with us because it's really, I'm standing beside the youth and trying to lift up their, you know, their messages. So we're working very, very close together. And boy, are they smart. Wow. But then after that, every Friday, we focus on something else. Like on October 18th, we're focusing on why the Green New Deal provides a framework mm-hmm. for moving to a fossil-free future. And then on the 25th of October, we do oceans.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And Ted Danson and other scientists are coming in to focus on that. November 1st, it's women and climate change.
Wow.
And we have some fantastic women coming from New Orleans, and Eve Ensler is coming, and some poets, and Catherine Keener, and it's going to be great. And then November 8th, it's war and the military and climate. And November 15th, it's environmental justice.
Mm-hmm.
And November 22nd is water, it's fresh water.
Mm, yeah.
And so it goes till the middle of January. We're doing food justice and agriculture, jobs and a just transition, migration and human rights, climate and health, forests, and so forth.
Yeah, this is just absolutely brilliant. And the Fire Drill Fridays are there's a Thursday teach-in, which people can
access at 7 o'clock at night.
Then they can access that from the website. And then if they're anywhere in the neighborhood of D.C., they can attend in person on the actual Fridays in front of Congress. God knows it
yeah.
needs it. Oh, wow. This is incredible, Jane.
We're trying to keep alive the momentum that was created by the students.
Yes, yes.
It's exciting what's happening. I mean, I think we've reached a point now where it's a tipping point, I think.
I think so. I mean, there's so much going on in any direction that you look. You know, the Turks are bombing the Kurds. I mean, the world is going crazy, but we're moving ahead on impeachment, and the White House is trying to ignore it as if it just didn't. Well, we're not going to do impeachment. That's just too bad for you, world and democracy. But without women and water and reality and the planet, there is no moving ahead on any of these fronts. This is the biggest thing at stake because it's our only spaceship.
It's the existential crisis that's looming over us all. And because there is so much noise, and it's important noise.
Yes.
I mean, the impeachment has an impact on climate change.
Everything does.
I don't need to explain that. It helps to have a movie star get arrested and have her friends join her.
Yep.
To keep the climate crisis on the front line.
Well, by this time, I think you're more than a movie star. I think you're an epic figure. I think your mother courage, and also your mother courage crossed with the Energizer Bunny. That makes for a strange image, but nonetheless, that's who you are. You're also doing the Progressive Strategy Summit on the 25th of October, aren't you?
Yeah, I called Pramila to tell her what I was doing, because she's a friend, Pramila Jayapal, the congresswoman from Washington State.
Yes,
and
she's
wonderful. She had me invited to speak at the Progressive Caucus, the Congressional Progressive Caucus. So, yes, I will be there.
But it's also organizers and grassroots activists and influential people and Congress people and so forth. So you're hitting on all sixes. This does not mean, my listeners will be upset if I don't ask, this does not mean the end of Grace and Frankie.
No. Well, I met with Ted Sarandos, who is the head of Netflix, and I said, Ted, this is what I want to do. Can you give me a year's hiatus? So I can do it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he would try. But then he told me I can't do it because of everybody's contracts. It's too complicated. So I have to stop middle of January to go back to work on Grace and Frankie, and I'm perfectly happy about that, but I would have liked to do it what I'm doing for a year. I'll come back afterwards.
I'm afraid that the crisis will still be waiting. So, fire drill Friday, 11 a.m. in front of the Capitol. Those Congress people need their spines stiffened. They're beginning. And this involves pretty much every environmental group from Greenpeace on through, women's groups, yeah, and civil rights groups, and you name
it. Rainforest Action, Climate Action Network, Oil Change International, League of Conservation Voters, Friends of the Earth, you name it.
Mm. And you'll be speaking, and whoever else is an expert.
And the expert on the topic. There'll be experts, scientists, celebrity activists, and kids at all of them, and frontline community people. That means people representing communities that are the most vulnerable to climate change. Like yesterday, I was in Lowndes County, Montgomery, where sewer is coming right in the backyards up to the ground because of all the rain,
God,
for example, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and the counties in California that are going up in flame, and the low-lying counties, and the shore counties, my God, and the and of course globally, we've only just begun to touch the refugee and migrant problem, because we haven't even begun to really see climate refugees yet.
Well, actually, a lot of the refugees are climate refugees.
Yes, they're fleeing drought.
We just don't know it.
That's right. They're fleeing drought, but it's going to get much worse.
Oh, it's going to be by the millions and millions, climate refugees, mass migration. And we have to figure out how to deal with this. If we don't, if those people who don't like refugees should understand that, then we have to stop climate change.
Yes, well, we have to stop climate change in order to do anything else, because otherwise we don't have a climate. Have you ever been able to figure out, just as an aside philosophically, even though there seems little time for philosophy, how they can be so blind? They have children too. How they can deny so flatly? How do they do it?
I think what we're staring at is late-stage capitalism, where people are so greedy, and the public sphere has been wiped off the face of the earth in their minds. All that matters is them and their wealth, even more than their families, I guess.
Yeah.
If they think they're immune, and by they, I just want to clarify, we're talking about the fossil fuel industry, not the workers,
right?
But
of course,
the people who run the companies. And the politicians they bought off, what just makes me so angry, my throat closes up. The fossil fuel industry, with their scientists, knew 30 years ago what they were doing. They knew,
yeah,
they were poisoning the environment, and they lied about it.
Yeah.
And they hoodwinked us. To this day, they're lying about it. Had we known what was known 30 years ago and started to act, the transition off of fossil fuels could have been incremental.
Yes.
It could have been a moderate, but it's too late for moderation now. That's what's so important about a Green New Deal, is this is the kind of thing that has to happen. It is profound, and it's going to take every single one of us.
They did the same thing with tobacco.
That's true, except that tobacco only affected people who smoked.
That's correct. And those
this
immediately around them.
This is a grandchild,
Yeah.
People who had nothing to do with what we're facing, and what we're not just facing, we're smack dab in the middle of it.
We're in the middle of it, yeah. I mean, I think one of the things, and since we're both co-founders of the Women's Media Center, we're behind this. I mean, one of the things is that media, every time it covers a fire, the raging fires in California, or it covers floods, or it covers unusually strong storms, that, my goodness, Category 5 hurricanes happening more and more and more. It should link,
yeah,
that. It should make the, it should connect the dots and link that to, this is climate change. This is climate change.
Yeah.
That we are in,
yeah,
it now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
exactly.
I love you, and I love you even more for doing all of this. And take care of yourself. And it's somehow it's comforting to have you on the East Coast, even if you're not in New York.
I love you, Robin.
Take care, my dear. We'll be behind you.
Thanks.
The Women's Media Center, founded in 2005 by Jane Fonda, Gloria Steinem, and myself, is a progressive, nonpartisan, nonprofit organization working to make women visible and powerful in media. You can learn more about the WMC at womensmediacenter.com.
The website for Finding the Thursday Teach-Ins, live stream from Washington, D.C., which Jane Fonda and Robin Morgan talked about, is FireDrillFridays.com. That's FireDrillFridays.com. You can also contact climate strikers in at least 30 countries through the webpage FridaysForFuture.org/about. That's FridaysForFuture.org/about. The book that got Jane Fonda to join Fridays for Future is titled On Fire, The Burning Case for a Green New Deal. Here's its author, Naomi Klein, from her Washington, D.C. book launch at Politics and Prose in October 2019.
When I started writing about climate change and started linking it with our economic system, I got a lot of pushback from friends in the climate movement who said, you know, you're just making things harder. We can't make it sound so hard. Like, why are you weighing down climate with all of these other issues? You know, they're less popular. There was this feeling, right? And it was just so backwards, because the truth is that the people who are going to fight for the future we need up against really powerful forces, and this is a fight with powerful, powerful forces arrayed against us, whether it is the fossil fuel companies, or whether it is the banks that finance them, or the politicians who all of them finance. We need a movement of people who have a lot to win, who have a lot to gain from change, who aren't afraid of change, right? I think is absolutely critical, and I think we've made mistakes in the past in movements of just having our no, but being afraid to put forward our yes, the vision of what we want instead. So it's so beautiful to see the fearlessness around getting out of our issue silos. We're all inside the climate, but the truth is that this generation is seeing their lives bet against by political leaders who don't protect them from guns in schools, don't protect in any way immigrant youth from being wrenched from their families, don't protect black youth from police, don't protect them from white supremacists and misogynists and transphobics and on when they go online. So it's really a moment where I think people are realizing that the system is failing on multiple fronts, and because of that, are less afraid of the kind of change we actually need.
Naomi Klein, author of On Fire, The Burning Case for a Green New Deal. To hear Wings programs again, visit our website, wingsradio.org, or email wings@wings.org. Special thanks to the Women's Media Center, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose latest book is titled The Maternal Roots of the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Wing Series Producer Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.